In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to look at the second Sunday of Lent readings. I want to tell you that it's all about the glory of God. It's from Genesis 15, verse 5 and following. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can." Just so, he added, "Shall your descendants be?" Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited him as an act of righteousness. I'm going to tell you, Abram saw more than stars. He saw the glory of God. He was in the presence of God. He saw it through the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you, that's real. That happened to me many years ago, when I was looking for God and I needed Jesus. I still need Jesus. I was looking for the real God, and I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and these flowers were filled with the glory of God. I saw the flowers filled with the glory of God, and God said to me, "Do you see these flowers, how much glory they give you, me?" I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "How much more glory can you give me?" I said, "Much, Lord." With that, I said, "You can have my life." And it was something that happened in the power of my stomach, that rivers of living water started to flow. I could feel the rivers of living water. I didn't know anything about rivers of living water. I knew nothing, but Jesus said, "He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." It's all about the glory. It is the very presence of God. I remember praying with the young man, Bart, and Eric brought Bart to see me, and we prayed with him, and he went down under the power of the Spirit, and my Lord, his life was completely changed. The glory of God was on him. The presence of God was on him. We need the glory of God. We need the presence of God. We need that the Lord would do something for us, that we would see beyond the stars, but we would see what the stars are doing. And they are giving glory to God. Abram saw that the stars were giving glory to God, and God promised him, "So shall your descendants be." When God gives a promise, I'm going to tell you, you can count on it. Your descendants shall be as many as the stars. And in another place it says, as many as the sands of the sea. I'm telling you, when God gives a promise, you can count on it. Has God given you a promise? Has he told you something? Has he promised you something? If it is God, he will do it to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. Abram was considered righteous because he put his faith in the Lord. Are you putting your faith in the Lord today? You might say, "But it's so very difficult." Difficult or not, Jesus is worth putting our faith in him. Eleanor is with me. She could talk about putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, Father, and hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here today. And, yeah, the bottom line is faith, and it's so difficult, isn't it, Father, that we have to pray for faith morning, noon, and night, because our faith wavers. We're human. And what I'm thinking, Father, is that the Lord has made us a promise. He's given us, he's promised us something. He said that his promise for us is, "I will be with you. I will never leave you. Whatever you're going through, I know what it is." And can you imagine Abram, like, he was probably thinking, well, how could this be? How could I have descendants as many as the sands on the seashore? But whatever you're going through, you're thinking, well, how could I get that job? Or how can I get my husband to talk to me a little bit more? Or how can I get my children to return to church? In other words, the Lord promises that he will be with you. He knows what you're going through. And in his timing, it's all about his timing. It's never our time. His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. We can't understand that in our little human minds. But remember that, and that's what faith is. Faith is what Abraham had. In other words, Lord, I believe. I believe you're with me. I believe you know the stress I'm going through. I believe you will take care of it. And then sometimes we have to help them a little bit. If you're looking for a job, you have to keep looking and not give up. You say, well, I've tried 10 places. Well, in this day and age, you're going to have to try 20 places. So keep going, whatever you're thinking of doing. If you want to contact your children, you haven't talked to them a while, pick up the phone, write a note. Just keep going, whatever you're doing, because the Lord's going to lead you. He's going to love you. He's going to pour mercy upon you. He's going to have it work out. And that's what our faith is. It's hard because we think, well, it's been so long. I know things do take forever, but that's okay. Because look what Abraham went through and how old he was. And he hung in there and he believed. And his faith is our role model. And that's what I'm thinking today, Father. And to have the glory of God and the faith come upon us, we have to create a scene for it to happen. And you know what? I think we're all so busy, Father, because we can't hear our God whispering to us. We can't hear Jesus speaking to us in a gentle voice. You know, he's so gentle, and he doesn't push himself on us, and he whispers. But so how can we have the glory of God fall upon us, and how can we have our faith increased if we're all so busy? We're here and there, and we're answering the phone, and we're on the computer. And Jesus is, you know what, Father? Jesus is a jealous lover. And he's waiting for us to turn off that computer, to turn off the election, to turn off the TV. Because he wants to come. He wants to whisper. He wants the glory of God to fall upon us. He wants to increase our faith. But we're running and we're answering the phone all the time. We're doing so much. So I'm thinking we have to create the atmosphere for the glory of God to fall upon us in a mighty way. And it takes a discipline. It's a discipline. You know what? When Jesus told us all the things we should do, none of them were easy. Believe me, to follow Jesus is not easy. And to discipline ourselves to hear the faith, to increase our faith and to have the glory of God fall upon us, it's not easy. We have to discipline ourselves. I have to discipline myself. Okay, I have to make a telephone call, but I feel the Lord saying, could you come to me? I'm a jealous lover. I've been waiting for you, Eleanor, but you're on the telephone. So I have to discipline myself and say, no, certain times of the day are going to be just for Jesus, just for my Lord, just for my Savior, just for my Messiah. And then I'm just going to stay. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to say, be still. And the Lord's saying to me, be still, Eleanor, and know that I am God. And in that stillness, in that quietness, then the Lord speaks. And then that's when the glory of God comes. And that's when our faith is increased. And that's, so I'm speaking to myself. I have to discipline myself. It's not easy because we are in the world. I'm not in a convent. I'm not in a monastery. I'm in the world. And I have to calm down, though, and step back and let the Lord surprise me with his glory. And therefore, my faith will increase. And I'm going to pray for that during this Lent, Father, that I can step back, let the Lord surprise me with his glory. There's nothing better than the glory. I don't care how many telephone calls I would make, or who would I open the door to have that glory of God fall upon you like it did when you tell that story, Father, a minute ago. I could tell just from your face, you were reliving it. That glory of God that falls upon us, it never leaves. And when you repeat it, it comes back again, and it kind of brings tears to your eyes. So I think for my Lent, I'm going to discipline myself, try to step back from the telephone and all the things that distract me. You know, sometimes I hear the Lord say, Eleanor, I'm waiting for you. When are you coming to me? I'm a jealous lover. And then, you know, sometimes I say, Father, well, let me just put the TV on and see if anything is new. Now, how foolish is that? There's nothing new, and it's all the same, and it's all boring. But I do that. I know I do that. I said, well, I'll just do it for 5 minutes. And even when I'm telling you now, I get myself upset because I'm saying to the Lord, 5 minutes, just let me see if there's anything new on the news. Now, that's very bad. I'm very upset with that. So everybody pray for me, and that's my prayer, that I step back from the worldly things and listen to the voice, the sweet voice of Jesus.
Eleanor quoted the scripture, our ways are not his ways, and his ways are not our ways. But the rest of it is, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, we don't want our ways. I want his ways. I want his ways. I continue the reading. He then said, the Lord then said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you from the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you a land, this land, as a possession. God promises not only his descendants would be many, but that there would be a land given to him, and that's the Holy Land. That's why the Jewish people will not renege. They will not say, we're going to give you Jerusalem. God gave this land to them, and God gave it to Abraham, that this land belongs to God's people, not to America, not to the Arabs, but God says, this land belongs to my people. O Lord God, he asked, how am I to know that I shall possess this land? And the Lord answered him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abram brought him all these, and he split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. And as the sun was about to set, a trance fell on Abram. He's in the glory of God. And a deep and terrifying darkness enveloped him. I'm telling you, I want to be under the cloud of glory. There is more power under that cloud, even though it might seem dark underneath it. There is more power underneath that cloud of glory that God gives us, and we need to stay under that cloud. Under that cloud we need to be. That's where we need to live. When the sun had set, it was dark, and there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch which passed between the pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. This is the word of God. Again, God promised this land to Israel. He promised this land to Israel. I'm telling you, when God says something, you can really count on it, from the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T. This is our land. What land does God promise us? Heaven. Oh, yes. Our land is not in Israel. Our land is in heaven. It is from there that we await the Savior of the world, who will give us a new body, resurrected body, just like Jesus. That's the second reading, but we'll do it in a minute. The response was, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge, yes. Of whom should I be afraid? Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks. You my glance seeks. I love that. You my glance seeks. I want to see you. Oh, yes, I want to see you, Lord. I want to see your face. I want to see your love. I want to see you, Lord. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Yes. How many times have I said that to the Lord? Hide not your presence from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. I believe, hallelujah, that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Don't go past him. Don't go faster than he's coming. Don't go slower than he's there. Wait for the Lord to do what he wants to do in you, that he is in love with you, that he wants to pour out his spirit upon you, that he wants you to know the presence of God, the Kabod Yahweh. I said to the people yesterday, the glory of God is the Kabod Yahweh, and it is a heavy presence. I've seen people under that power that couldn't get up. They couldn't get up. They tried to get up, and they couldn't because the power of God was on them. This is real. We're talking about real stuff. Tell us about that, Eleanor.
Well, it's interesting, Father, that you said you talked about the land, and I'm thinking the Lord's given us land, and not a whole bunch of acres. That's not the land I'm talking about. I'm going to say, I'm talking about what has the Lord given you? Perhaps he's giving you a family, and perhaps he's giving you a home, and that's your land, and he's given that to you, and he didn't just do it by coincidence. He did it because he wanted you to have your family, your land, your house. You're in charge of that land. And it's and even if it's not a family, if you are a single person and you live at home, and your land is the people you come in touch with at work, whatever your work is, your land is all the people that you meet during the day. And the Lord's giving you that land, and he's giving you those people, and it's not just coincidence. Like, it's all planned, and it's planned because you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you have to give Jesus out to people. So the people that you're meeting, the people that you're working with, the people in your family, the people that you see in the supermarket, that's your land at that moment. And the Lord's saying, give Jesus out to all of these people. I've picked you. I have chosen you to do that. Can you imagine that you've been chosen to tell people about Jesus, not just in words, but the way that you live and cultivate your land, your family? Remember, you're in charge of that family. It's an awesome responsibility. And you're responsible for keeping the family together, having meals at the same time every day where everybody sits around the table. This is your land to cultivate it. Turn off those telephones that the teenagers are using all the time and talk about, have conversation. This is your land. And it's not just Abraham that was given it. We're giving these, and it's our responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. And we will be asked, what did you do with the land that I gave to you? So, and you know, Father, don't you love that when the glance? I love that because the Lord Jesus only has to glance at us. Ugh. It's so beautiful, Father. And just thinking about it now, if you just close your eyes and you think, Lord, just glance at me. Just glance at me, because guess what? His glance cleanses us. Just to have him glance at us, it cleanses us. It cleanses our soul and our mind and our body. It gets rid of all the toxins of the world, all the poisons, all the stress, all the anxiety. Just one glance. One glance of Jesus, and then he enlivens us. He brings us back to life. Just that one glance brings us back to life. And then when we're alive, we do things. We want to do things because we're in love. That glance makes us love him. And then when we love him, we want to go out and tell people. We want to have fruits of that love, not just for ourselves, because we go back to what you started with, Father, the glory of God. Our fruits give glory to God. And honestly, Father, he loves that. He loves to be praised. He loves to be worshiped. And he loves to receive all the glory. So that one little glance, but when it comes from our Savior, from our Messiah, from Jesus, from the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that glance makes us love, and we go out. We get out of our comfort zone, and we go out. We're cleansed, and we're enlivened, and now we will have fruits, all for his glory.
I'm reading from Philippians 3, 17 and following. Join with others in being imitators of me. Imagine St. Paul said, I follow the Lord so powerfully that I want you to imitate me. That's either pride or it's something that's absolutely real, and I think it's real. In other words, you want to see how I follow the Lord? You follow the Lord like me, and you'll be in good hands. I can't say that. I can't say, do what Father Tom does. No, I've not reached that point. But I can say, do what the Lord tells you to do. Hear God. Hear God in the readings. Hear God in the quiet of your heart. And observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model that you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. We never want to be enemies. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Their end is their minds are occupied. Their end is the destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's our land. And from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly bodies to conform with his glorified bodies by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Are you in subjection to Jesus? Does he put himself in your life that you're in subjection to Jesus? How do you do that? I surrender. And really mean it. I surrender. I want to be under your love, under your power, under your glory. I want to be in subjection to you. Therefore, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in what? In the presence of God. Stand firm in the glory of God. Stand firm in the glory of God. Stand firm that you are under his mercy. Stand firm that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand firm that you are grounded in Jesus Christ. Grounded in Jesus Christ. Yes, grounded. Mm-hmm. This is from Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was to accomplish in Jerusalem, his exodus, that he had to go to Jerusalem and die. They was telling him this under the power of the glory, under the Taboric light, that light of Tabor that filled Jesus, that filled Moses, that filled Elijah, that light of Tabor, that glory of God. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw the glory and the two men standing with Jesus. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying, While he was still speaking, the glory cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They felt silent and did not tell anyone of this, what they had heard and what they had seen. The glory cloud, I'm telling you, when people say, we talk to the saints and you're talking to the dead, let me tell you this, that Moses is not dead. He is alive. He was not translated into heaven. Elijah was translated into heaven. Jesus is talking to the living, not to the dead, to the living. Moses is alive, and Elijah is alive, and they are filled with the glory of God. And guess what they're doing? They're praying for you, and they're praying for me, and they're praying that we would keep in the race. Let me tell you, there is a race called Christianity, and it's not just a 100-yard dash. It's a triathlon. It's something that goes on and on and on. Whether you feel it or not, you belong to Jesus. Whether you feel it or not, you go to him and you ask for his presence. Whether you feel it or not, you say, "Jesus Christ, I want to be subject to you. I want to know the power of your love. I want to know the power of your spirit. I'm tired of being in the same old place. I need you to do something in me that will transform me." And Jesus says, "My glory will transform you. My glory will transform you. My glory will transform you." Father, let the glory of God come upon your people as we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.